making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Can't beat Halloween, you know, costumes and candy. I mean, that's as good as it gets.
Rocking and rolling here on a sleepy Thursday, I'd call it. Feels like Halloween. It's dreary out there today.
Oh, it's going to be great. Cold and just a chilly night, but clear. Perfect.
But you can make that better with Twisted Tea because it's Twisted Tea Thursday on Solak and Bertrand with Chase Winovich. Twisted Tea is more than just the original hard iced tea. It's a whole new attitude. Grab some Twisted Tea and tailgate like a pro. Every game, Twisted Tea. Keep it twisted. Enjoy responsibly. Chase Winovich is with us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hi, Chase.
Hello. Great to be here.
What's up, brother?
What's going on?
How are you feeling as a team? Like, we'll get to your role and all that. You know, those type of questions are coming. But, like, you were here last year when you were a 12-win team, and a lot of the same guys from a year ago. And, you know, you went through some odd times at Michigan, too, but is losing as contagious as winning, as some people say, in this league?
I think that may be a little jump in the gun to say, you know, make all these, like, rash statements. And I see a lot of those, you know, in the public sphere, I'd say. But to be honest, like, for us, it's like, you know, I can't speak for everybody as a whole, but I know I'm speaking for myself. It's like adversity is part of the process. And, you know, as the Stoics would say, you know, I welcome the situation, and sometimes you just got to take the situation exactly as it is and welcome it and say, you know what, this is an opportunity for us to learn and be better from. And, you know, that's certainly what I'm trying to do. And, you know, that's about it.
Chase, to go back to Sunday's game, could you tell us what your defense of the penalty for hitting Jimmy Garoppolo was?
You're trying to plead your case. Yeah.
Everyone saw you on national television trying to plead that case to your coach. What was it?
That's between us. We're going to leave that on the field, but
he flopped. He flopped.
Yeah, he obviously did flop, though.
Don't
he admitted
make
he flopped.
Oh. It is.
There it is. I'm not saying that was a conversation on the field, but as
it looked like he got shot. He got shot.
He may have, but when you hit quarterbacks, that's what happens.
Yeah, well, the play looked especially bad because when he intercepted it, like where I was standing, like the obviously the guy that intercepted it was to the right, and so I'm like, okay. You know, I'm going to go block like the most logical guy that could actually make a play. Cause he started sprinting to the sideline in my head. I'm like, okay, he's going to go seal it off. But of course he cut it across the field and ended up on the other side. And so now all of a sudden it looked like you have this poor old quarterback that's running for his life. And you got this mean bully.
Yep. With long hair. Yep.
It's mean bully Viking warrior just chasing him down and hucking him, from behind. So,
you know he wasn't going to make a play. He wasn't going to tackle anybody. A quarterback, he's pretty boy quarterback at that.
You ever dress up like a Viking at home?
Well, he was the only one. If the ball went to the sideline, he was the only one that could. I'm not justifying it by any means. I got to be smarter and do better moving forward, no doubt. But, you know, I made a decision in the heat of the moment. And, you know, it is what it is. But to be honest, like, it's football. It's my first penalty as a professional. And, you know, I just got to be better, and I will. That won't happen again. So,
you know, you told us a couple of weeks ago you have to trust the process when, you know, you looked at the amount of snaps you were getting earlier in the year and how it went down a little more this past week. Is it frustrating when you can't be out there and the points are getting racked up or you see maybe something you can do? How hard is that when you trust that process and you have to go through that?
Yeah, and that's what it goes back to is, like I said, just trusting the process. And there's some other isms like doing your job, and you know, I could be better. And that's all there is to it. And yeah, I know I could help the team win. And you know, a lot of that starts with just making sure that I have their trust. And, you know, I got to make sure that, you know, I'm crossing my T's and dotting my I's and, you know, so I could play fast and do everything that they expect of me. You know, there's obviously, you know, everything's ratcheted up once you start losing, especially, you know, the microscope comes in and, but I'm just trying to avoid falling into that trap of, you know, the blame game and doing all this stuff. If anything, I'm just going to try to take this on the chin as much as I can. And I got broad shoulders. I'll take as much blame as necessary. I know that, you know, I can play football and, you know, I'm going to do everything I can in my power. It's, you know, 24/7 thinking about, you know, ways that I could do my job better. And, I plan on doing that.
I like that broad Viking shoulders. Just think about that.
I didn't say Viking shoulders.
I know, but like I start to visualize things. So.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Chase Winovich is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Is there a sense that this weekend's game against Buffalo, the season is on the line right now?
I wouldn't say, you know, it's like, oh, we're playing Buffalo, the season's on the line. But the urgency is definitely there. And the guys are working hard and they're focused. And, you know, I'm excited to get out there on Sunday for an opportunity to compete. And, you know, Coach Harbaugh always put this, the only way to get that bad taste out of your mouth is to go out there and, you know, and do it. And, you know, I'm certainly going to try to do that. And, I think the team is as well.
All right, Chase, these guys don't know this, but, Halloween is coming up on Saturday. We've talked about Halloween and you're new to the New England area where everybody goes out on Halloween and you actually trick or treat and have Halloween parties on the day that Halloween falls on. Now, I grew up in Western Pennsylvania like you, and back in the day when I was a kid, if Halloween was on a Wednesday, we would trick-or-treat on a Saturday. We'd do it in the afternoon from like 12 to 4, so it's out in the daylight. You could actually see the costumes. It's safe. My mom would make candy apples, custom-made candy apples for all the kids. Did you trick-or-treat on a Saturday? Or when you were a kid growing up in Pennsylvania, did you trick-or-treat on Halloween?
I guess it depended on like when Halloween fell. I don't know if they did like random, like, oh, we're going to trick or treat on this night. But yeah, typically it was on Halloween, you know, wherever it fell.
So I'm a weirdo then. So my town's a weirdo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
I guess so. But I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think you could trick or treat on Halloween, you know.
What was your best Halloween costume ever as a child or an adult?
One year I went as Hades from Hercules. I had like the contacts and my hair was dyed white. That was definitely pretty interesting. There's a picture of that one online.
How do you dye it white?
There's like a hairspray.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, now I know what you're talking about. Like from the cartoon movie?
The cartoon Hercules.
That Hades. Okay.
Yeah, that Hades. Right. Yeah.
I did. I thought maybe you meant the historical Hades.
No. It's a great pick. It was a great outfit for sure.
Is there a team party this year for Halloween like there has been in years past? I don't know if you know, but Bill Belichick is pretty big on Halloween. He likes it.
There's a pirate.
Maybe he'll pull that out this year. I doubt there's going to be too much to laugh about, too much joy leading up to this game, just considering how big it is. But you know, I'm sure there'll be some play on Halloween and, you know, the holidays here. But to be honest, it's a big game this weekend, and my focus is definitely on there.
Okay, so real quick, I'm going to give you a little insight here because this is a fact. So Bill's favorite candy is malted milk balls, which I can't stand.
Whoppers?
Whoppers. He loves the Whoppers. Get a box of Whoppers, take them into Bears, and have say, hey, tell him this is from Chase. And he won't only be on his good side. I mean, you know, get this thing cranked up for Sunday here.
Yeah, that's a Whoppers. Smart heads up right there. Thank you for that.
Whoppers. Use the Whoppers.
Yeah.
Use
it. What's your favorite Halloween candy?
Definitely not black licorice.
Oh. You see that dude died from it?
It doesn't surprise me.
It's like eating strychnine. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. It's. I don't know what my favorite Halloween candy would be. Maybe my favorite candy in general is those Lego blocks. You know what I'm talking about?
My God. Like, yeah.
Like pure sugar, which is... I try to avoid sugar. Low key, have waged war on sugar, I'd say. But yeah, no, I those are pretty good.
You're waging a war against it? That's not good.
It's anti-sugar.
Halloween's not good for that.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Halloween is definitely not good for it, but it's pretty tempting. I'm not going to lie. I definitely feel sugar in my ear speaking to me.
Which female outfit excites you the most of, like, what, say, hey, you're a young guy, you got a lot of virility. What sexy outfit out there that a female would wear would get you excited?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Of course.
I'm gonna take the safe answer and just say whatever my girlfriend wears.
Attaboy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Chase, you're a thoughtful guy. In terms of the Halloween movies, Michael Myers, was he a man or was he an evil entity here on Earth?
I never really thought about that. Can you explain a little more?
Well, Michael Myers seems to not be subject to the same mortal confines that we are. He seems to be unkillable.
He's crazy.
It's like a lot of monster movies, though, or a lot of horror movies.
It's the most
like,
realistic
this guy won't
one,
die. Is it? Was he a man
was
that just
human?
Grew up? Or was he like some kind of evil spirit all along?
I think he was probably more of an evil spirit.
Yes.
That makes the most sense to me.
Yes.
Huh. What do you think?
I think Halloween, the original Halloween by John Carpenter, I think 1978, with Jamie Lee Curtis, is the best horror film ever because it's the most realistic.
I gotta go back and watch the tape. I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh my God!
All right, so what is the scariest movie of all time, in your opinion?
The scariest is probably Strangers.
Strangers.
Or The Scream.
Scream.
I was home, being babysat as a kid, and I was in a room and Scream was on, so that gave me nightmares for a couple years.
See, that's just it. It's like if you go back and watch some of these now, like Nightmare on Elm Street to me is the scariest movie ever, but now I'd probably laugh at it, except for the fact I'm gonna remember all the stuff that scared me as a kid. And but my kids probably wouldn't be scared by that. To me, that's terrifying.
Phantasm.
Look at you all growing up. I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
The fact you said you were being babysat when Scream came out pretty much dates us. I mean, that's...
I don't know who put that on, but I'm not going to assign blame over the radio, but there are some questions for sure. But...
All right.
It toughened me up. That's all.
Good.
Any theories we need to ask Chase about today? I know a lot of people have asked about Slender Man. People wanted to get your take on Slender Man.
I want to get Chase's take on two, but we can add in Slender Man. Is Slender Man an actual thing on this earth?
Slender Man, I briefly looked into it when the one girl was like, there was like a cult and she killed her neighbor. It was like a little kid or attempted to. I was like, wow, this is pretty freaky. But I think that's more of just like, that's people's imaginations. You know, like all of a sudden you have real life phenomenons like the Mothman. And now all of a sudden people just want to start jumping to all these crazy conclusions talking about Slender Man. But honestly, I don't want to get on Slender Man's bad side. And I feel like if he is real, he's obviously trying to be known. So,
smart.
Okay.
Smart.
Yeah, exactly. You got to play it safe.
Have you looked into D.B. Cooper at all? You familiar with
Yeah, that's like the ultimate mystery right there. But I don't know how familiar you guys are with like the whole incident. But
let me tell the guy claims to be alive, living in Southern California.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's him.
Yeah.
Oh, is this recent? Did he came out and
last
said he's
few
alive?
Years? There was a big special that came out and said, "Look, this guy is D.B. Cooper. He's alive, well, and living." And they did his background, and there is a group of researchers who believe he is among us.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like they think that's him, or they think he's among us, like still alive.
No, they think that's the guy.
It is interesting that we never found any like the parachute or. I know we came across some of the money, which makes me think that like the fact that we were able to recover some of the money that was lost just kind of leads me to believe that he didn't make it and the wind conditions were too bad. I think like he had a lot of stuff going for him and he thought it out. But the fact that he jumped with the parachute that wasn't actually the best parachute the conditions that he was jumping in, and the fact that we found some of his money, which shows me that like it wasn't like a super clean landing, just leads me to believe that, you know, I don't think he survived it. But I mean, if he did, you know, kudos to him. I think there was actually a follow up, you know, like copycat hijacker after that. And he was actually arrested because he was bragging to his friends. Nice. So it's possible that he lived for sure.
I love that you know so much.
I know.
About that.
I know. That's the only reason why I wanted to ask.
It's amazing.
It's absolutely incredible. We've got one for you to take a look into. I know you like to do your research, Chase, for next week. Look into the Bridgewater Triangle.
Locally here.
Okay.
Bridgewater Triangle. I love local mysteries. This will be great after the Bills game. I'll check into it.
Yeah. Right. So it's right at the juncture of 495 and Route 24, about 20 minutes south of the stadium.
Yeah. You're close to the triangle, so take a look at that.
All right, buddy.
It's time now for the Twisted Tea question of the week. It's from Jeff in Wellesley. Jeff says, Chase, how many hours of sleep on average do you get per night during the season?
It just depends. I try to get at least around 8. Sleep's pretty important as an athlete, and there's a lot of science behind it. It's actually pretty crazy. But yeah, I try to get around 8 at least. Sometimes it's tougher than others. We just got a lot going on, a lot to get ready for.
Chase, good to talk to you as always. Good luck this weekend.
Good luck Sunday.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me on. See
all right.
Yeah,
take care.